the session over to Amy Storm from the EPA Office of Brownfields and Land Revitalization. Amy?
Hi, Jean. Thank you. And welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us for our webinar today. I'm Amy Storm. I work in EPA's Office of Brownfields and Land Revitalization in Washington, D.C. And we are so pleased that our program has been able to provide a lot of great technical assistance for free out to communities and different organizations, nonprofit groups, such as those of you who are joining us today. And today we want to make sure that you know about these opportunities and you feel confident in how to reach out to them when you have any questions or would just like to include them on as part of your brownfield redevelopment project. So the stars of our show today really are our technical assistance providers. So we are going to have four presenters today to talk with us about five programs. Blaise Levin from Kansas State University is going to describe the technical assistance to brownfields program that he manages, and specifically for the communities and regions, EPA regions 5, 6, 7, and 8. And Kansas State University also manages the National Tribal Technical Assistance Program, so he'll go through both of those. Kate Mingoya from Groundwork USA is going to describe her program that's available at a national level for supporting equitable development at brownfield sites. Pearl G. Maid is going to talk about the national program that they run that helps the brownfield communities understand funding and financing opportunities. And then Heather Ballou is going to describe the opportunities available through the Hazardous Materials Training and Research Institute to support environmental workforce development and job training efforts around brownfields. And all of this together, all of these opportunities can really help move your brownfield projects forward. And so we want to make sure that you have a chance to ask any questions as we go forward. So as Jean said, please send in your questions, and we will use them to share with everyone towards the end of the presentation. So we have a lot to cover today, and I'm not going to take any more time, but I will want to first turn it over to Blaise to tell us about the offerings provided by Kansas State University, and just a little bit about Blaise. He is the director of the Center for Hazardous Substance Research and the Technical Assistance to Brownfield Programs at Kansas State University. And as I said, he also manages the National Tribal Technical Assistance Program. So, Blaise, take it away.
Thanks, Amy. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Excellent. Well, welcome, everybody, to the webinar, and special welcome to tribes and also to new EPA grantees. I'm going to tell you a little bit about what we do in EPA regions 5, 6, 7, and 8, as well as the national scale things we do. We basically consist of a group of about 30 partners that have expertise in planning, environmental, and economic development topics that we assist local governments, tribes, and nonprofits with that expertise as they're developing brownfields. We're funded by the EPA through a competitive grant process, and again, we serve communities in the purple shaded areas on this slide. Getting the advancing down here, thanks. And so a lot of what we do is really one-on-one technical assistance and a few other things, but basically our work is to coach and provide advice and technical assistance in kind of the big three steps of brownfields redevelopment, and that's identifying sites and planning their reuse, getting the environmental investigation assessment and cleanup work done, and then actually implementing the redevelopment plan for the site. Here's a laundry list of, you know, what I'll be giving some examples of. the point of this slide, as you read through the individual bullets, is that we tailor what we do with individual communities based on your need. Again, arraying the right combination of experts to fit what you need to advance your brownfields program. So with respect to assistance with inventorying and prioritizing sites you might want to redevelop, we work through and talk through in the process of identifying criteria for revitalizing sites in your community in a way that will help you match brownfields to your revitalization goals. One tool we have to do that is called the Brownfields Inventory Tool that I'll talk more about later when I'm talking about national things that we do. We also have a smartphone app, though, that I'll mention that you can get on Google Play or the App Store. Once you've identified a site you want to work with or an area of sites, we can help you do some preliminary redevelopment planning with landscape architects and other types of planners. And so what we can do is come to your community and facilitate a stakeholder input process that can lead to renderings or rank order lists of preferred reuses that then you can apply funds you have, or you can go find funds for. In addition to kind of the site-specific one-on-one type community involvement we do, which again, there's a picture of a form of that, a day fair in Springfield, Missouri on this slide. We also do larger workshops that are convened by a particular community, such as in Shreveport, Louisiana. But we work with the state brownfields coordinators and the regional EPA brownfields programs to convene these workshops, not only to educate local stakeholders about resources you may have as a community, such as assessment or cleanup dollars, but also to connect you to state resources and federal resources and other regional resources. And those are great networking opportunities, and we do that as well. We do economic feasibility analysis in some cases. We have a partner, Jesse Silverstein, who, if you've watched our webinars, he's a frequent presenter. But to help determine whether a site that maybe there's a community reuse vision for, whether that vision's really feasible. We do a lot of providing examples and then reviewing draft documents. So we have model requests for proposals that you may want to use to start to draft an RFP and to solicit bids for hiring environmental consultants. We have example work plans, QAPs, assessments, ABCAs. And again, we can review those once you've drafted one for your community. And just pictured here is an area we've worked in for a long time over the years in Kansas City, Missouri, where we've done just that. We also have special expertise in certain areas. Community gardening is one of them. And we've actually even helped scope assessment work for Andy Bracker in the Kansas City Brownfields program in Missouri, and then reviewed area-wide assessment results to kind of help designate sites that would be safe for community gardening activities versus ones that might require some remediation first. We also have a partner that does funding roadmaps, so identifying resources in addition to EPA resources that might be necessary to help implement a plan on a brownfields. So we do that as well. And so with respect to the regional support we provide, that's a little snapshot. And we've got a website that kind of helps you connect you to who coordinates that support. I've listed myself as a point of contact, but if you go to ksutab.org, you'll see that there's a contacts page that would identify Maggie Egbarts as our contact for coordinating tab work in Regions 5 and 7. Scott Nightingale, who's listed on the slide here, does coordinate not only the National Tribal Tab Program that I'll tell you about in a minute, but also support to communities in EPA Region 6. And then Mark Walker also provides that or serves that function for communities in EPA Region 8. But again, if you contact me, I'll get you the right person, or you can look on our website for more information on that. So now a little bit about the national scale things we do. Mentioned the Tribal Tab Program. I'll tell you about that and a couple of other things. It's done in collaboration not only with our 20-plus partners, but also with the other TAB providers, Center for Creative Land Recycling and NJIT. NJIT covers, provides the same kind of assistance we provide in much of the East Coast areas. Guess I'm not using my pointer correctly. And then Center for Creative Land Recycling covers much of the West Coast areas. And we collaborate on kind of a national series of workshops and webinars. And again, K-State runs the national e-tools and also coordinates the Tribal Tab Program. And so with respect to workshops and webinars, we do these collaboratively at major national events, such as the Brownfields Conference coming up in December, and also the Tribal Land and Environment Forum coming up just next month in Palm Springs. Topics range from introductory brownfield basics to more complex leveraging resources and redevelopment planning in a tribal context. Something, since I think we have some new grantees with us today, I wanted to point out that we have a webinar series that I think is very useful, and that the previous ones are recorded, and would encourage you to check out things like First Things First, which tells you about how to set up your accounts with EPA to flow money and do things like that, how to solicit and get your contractors on board. And actually tomorrow, a really good one, I think, on community engagement will be happening. And so go to our website or write down this URL, but check out that webinar, get registered for it. Anyone, whether you're a grantee or not, we've got some of our best community engagement practitioners presenting that, and I think you could really learn a lot. Okay, so with respect to the e-tools, again, the Brownfields Inventory Tools, pretty important tool that we have created, and it's a very easy way to for your internal use. It's not public facing. It's a way for you to take any potential site, whether you're spending money, EPA money on it or not, and put it in a database and prioritize things for your program's purposes according to what stage of development that site is in, whether it's site information, basic stuff, or whether you're actually doing assessment work or cleanup on it. You can upload photos into this. You can put every document, any kind of information you want. You can even generate simple maps that you can put on PowerPoints and present to your citizens or the tribal councils or whatever you need to present to. If you're a tribe or a city that has an oversight and enforcement element to what you do, you can enter information on that as well into BIT and store that for specific sites and create an administrative record so that if you are doing enforcement actions or things like that, you've got backup for and rationale for what you're doing. You can also generate simple reports that you can either post online or again, put in the public record in some print and put in a kind of a paper public record if that's how you do it. BIT also has an interface with EPA Acres program that you can report or move data showing progress on EPA-funded assessments and cleanups into that database. And again, we have the smartphone app that allows you to collect data anywhere out in the field, whether you have a good cell phone connection or not with data connection. If you don't need that to use this, but you can certainly take photos, GPS coordinates, and those kinds of things in the field, whether you have a connection or not, it syncs to the server, and then you're good to go. So it's pretty handy, and we're very happy, and a lot of people are using it and like it. So there are also the other tabs, in addition to our tab, have great websites. On our website, we also have the TabEZ grant writing tool that you can draft assessment and cleanup proposals with. So next fall, when it's time to do that again, many people use that tool. So I just thought I'd mention that. As you can also download successful past successful grant proposals to look at to see what other people, how other people approached that. And then the other websites also have some great state resources listings and case studies that might be useful to you. Another web tool that we've created in as part of the Tribal Tab program through our partner at the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium is called the Tribal Brownfields Forum. It's at this URL, and if you're a tribe or a tribal professional or you work with tribes in those circles, this is a great platform we created to allow for professional learning, you know, peer-to-peer learning and networking. So if you're interested in joining this, go to the website, click the Get Involved button, and fill out your information, and we'll admit you, if you're working in tribal circles. So that's kind of the segue into talking about the Tribal Tab program. Before I get off the topic of the Brownfields Forum, though, the Tribal Brownfields Forum, I'll point out that information and discussion boards are organized in kind of the terms of tribal response program speak. So we've got the four elements, and then, however, there is information on 104K competitive grants that are in a tribal context. So a lot of good information there. So now, talking a little bit more about the Tribal Tab program, it's very similar. It operates very similar to the regional TAB programs, but it's national in scope, and it involves tribal partners. It's very much a collaborative thing with folks that are already doing tribal technical assistance or that serve tribes in other ways. The Tribal TAB program just injects an extra amount of brownfield expertise into the mix, and so you'll see that just by reading the slides, there's a number of tribal consortia we work with in addition to the regional TAB providers. We generally work with the tribal brownfields coordinators with 128A funding as a point of contact, but again, we take calls from anyone and we'll figure out how to help if it's possible. Again, a lot of it's one-on-one assistance, same types of things. We do help tribes prepare to apply and be competitive with 104K grants, so that's the MARC type of funding sources. And again, working with the regional TAB programs, they will review your grant application as well. Again, just to illustrate that we work collaboratively with tribes and that the tribes play a large role in what we do. So tribal presenters at workshops, we have a national tribal work group that's an advisory committee. I believe Oral Salters is on and he heads that up. So hello, Oral, I'm glad you're here today. And but we'll present at RTOC meetings. We'll work at local tribal meetings and do reuse visioning work. And again, it's about tribal mentoring and involving tribal professionals in this work. When we are working with a tribe or a tribe that's interested in hosting a workshop and you know, in conjunction with our regional partners and the other tribes, maybe the RTOC, which is the Regional Tribal Operations Committee. We have a laundry list of topics we start our discussion with as to here's some of the things we can present on and would invite tribal presenters to collaborate with. So it's just a matter of talking through what the presentation needs are and what the information needs are through a series of meetings that we eventually come up with an agenda and can have a workshop. So that in a nutshell is a little bit about what the K-State TAB program does, both kind of at a regional level and at a national level. And feel free to contact us, check out our website. And with that, I think that's the thumbnail sketch. I'll turn it back over to Amy.
Thanks, Blaze. Excellent.
Sure.
Thanks for walking us through all the different opportunities for helping communities work through their brownfield projects, wherever they are at the stage of their project. So now we're going to move to our next presenter. We're going to have Kate Mingoya from Groundwork USA talk with us about the technical assistance that her program can offer to communities to support equitable development approaches at brownfield sites. And Kate Mingoya is the Director of Capacity Building for Groundwork USA. So it's all yours, Kate.
Hi, thank you so much, Amy, and thank you, everyone, for joining us today. As Amy said, I'm Kate Mingoya, and I'm the Director of Capacity Building. And we have a variety of services, some of which are ready to roll that you can print out today to help with equitable development in your community. And we also offer a free technical assistance program. So I'm going to chat with about both of those today. So a little bit about us at Groundwork. We're a people-centered environmental organization, and we believe that there's a really strong relationship between where folks live and their well-being, and that everybody deserves to have a safe, wonderful place to live and the ability to stay there. We, over the past 20 years, have done this in a couple ways. One, through changing places, through the reclamation and transformation of underutilized land, often brownfields, into community assets. Things like urban farms and parks, trails, things like that. Changing lives through education and youth development program and robust youth engagement. And then changing systems in building the capacity of residents and community members to make change and to develop and enact a vision for their own communities. And Groundwork USA is involved in brownfields in a couple of ways. The first one is through our technical assistance program, which is what I'm here to talk with you about today. We receive a grant from the EPA to offer free technical assistance around developing equitable systems and developing your parcels of land more equitably. The other way that we are involved in brownfields is that we're part of a network. So it's Groundwork USA, and then there's also 20 Groundwork trusts nationwide that are involved in brownfield restoration work and transforming brownfield into community assets. So while you would receive technical assistance from us at Groundwork USA, I also encourage you to just hop online and see if you have a trust in your community, because it's always good to know other folks who are doing brownfield work. So feel free to reach out to them, even though you would get TA from us at Groundwork USA. I encourage you to reach out to your local Groundwork trusts. So you might have a couple questions. I keep throwing around the word equitable development, and you might have a few questions. For example, what is equitable development? And why does it matter? And how will pursuing it in my brownfields project benefit my community or help us to do what we do better? And then, you know, if I do want to pursue something related to equitable development, how can Groundwork USA help me? Well, at a really high level, the way that Groundwork USA interprets equitable development is that the community should realize the benefits of any redevelopment effort. So whatever's put on that brownfield site, once it's cleaned or capped and ready for reuse, is something that has to meet the needs of the community. And we take a very broad definition of need at Groundwork USA. This could be a recreational need. Maybe your community wants a park or an activity center placed there. Maybe there are social and cultural needs. Like, for example, there's not a great place to meet or a community center, and that could be a use for the property. Maybe there are financial needs in your community, and the site could be the site of a farmer's market or a small-scale manufacturing organization that brings jobs to the community. Or maybe there are even environmental needs. So, for example, your community might struggle with extreme heat or flooding, and your site you know, might be a good location for some green infrastructure to be put in. So we take a really broad definition of need. We're happy to help sort of work you through sort of evaluating that and checking in with your community. But whatever is built on that site should respond to community need, but you're not going to be able to find out what the community needs until you speak with them and involve them in a really robust and meaningful engagement process. And we believe that meaningful and deep engagement leads to wiser, stronger, and more stable decisions. So that's the focus of a lot of our equitable development work. So some of the other reasons why equitable development is important is that it helps to write a history of injustice. Most brownfield affected communities did not get that way by accident. Something had to happen there. And there's often a long and painful history of contaminants being placed in lower income and communities of color. So there's an environmental justice angle to using an equitable development lens in the redevelopment of your brownfield parcel. And then finally, focusing on equitable development forces you to be in really deep contact with residents and stakeholders and to help get to the bottom of their real needs as compared to what might just be a perceived need. So what resources do we at Groundwork USA have to help you in your brownfield projects that you can download and put into place as soon as your office webinar? Well, if you haven't been through the process of transforming a brownfield into a community asset, we do have our recently published Brownfields to Parks Guide, which is a step-by-step tour through the process from site acquisition to stakeholder engagement to financing, you name it, we touch on it in that guide. On our website, you'll also find a number of white papers and action plans that are related to community engagement and centers on equity and justice. So for example, we have a trauma-informed equitable development white paper, which explores how you work towards equitable development when your community has faced trauma, things like gun violence, poverty, or food insecurity. Many of our tools and resources also center around this question of how do I get a diverse coalition of residents and stakeholders to the table, and then how do I keep them involved over the long haul? We all know that brownfields are not a one-and-done start and finish in a week kind of deal. It sometimes takes many years to complete a project. So a lot of our tools and resources are around keeping people engaged and invested in the success of the project for the long haul. And then we also have a number of robust community engagement strategies. And one that I'd like to highlight is one that's intergenerational. If you've got adults in your community engaged and developing ideas at your community meetings, that's a great start, but there's also a great opportunity to pull elders and youth to the table. And so our Neighborhood Voices curriculum is a community engagement strategy, it's sort of an action plan that centers youth and works with you to figure out how do you work with youth to build a vision for the brownfield site and engage a diverse set of community members. We also have a couple one-pagers that are pretty neat, and they sketch out action plans and best practices for meaningful equity-focused community engagement. And this is just a really small taste of what we have. So head to the Technical Assistance Services tab on our webpage to find more resources and more action plans and things that you're able to download and implement today. So in addition to all those great resources that we've developed over the past 4.5 years or so, we also offer one-on-one technical assistance that's funded through September of 2020. This is completely funded by the EPA. It is paid for. It is free to you. And you can reach out to us for technical assistance if you have a really clear picture of what you need, or if you just want to chat and see if our services might be right for your project or useful for you. We're happy to hop on the phone no matter where you are in your thought process about equitable development and help you figure out if working with us can help to further the goals of equity in your community and if working with us is right for you. So you might wonder, all right, technical assistance, that's kind of vague, equitable development, I have a little more of a sense of what you mean. What are some examples of technical assistance that you've done with other folks? Well, I have a list here, a couple examples that are pulled from the 32 clients that we've worked with over the years. And I want to stress that we have worked sort of everywhere across the country, from Baltimore, Maryland, to Santa Clara Pueblo in New Mexico. So we really emphasize that whatever technical assistance we're providing is tailored and culturally complementary to your community. So for example, we've helped community groups, municipalities, state agencies, et cetera, develop community engagement and vision action plans that help them to build a broad coalition of stakeholders and get those community members invested in the success of the site so that they stick with it through the end. We've worked with community leaders to strategize around stakeholder interactions, so helping you build steering committees, helping to get those committees sort of on track and taking meaningful feedback from the neighborhood. We've helped groups develop theories of change and logic models, which helps in project planning. We've reviewed and given feedback on community benefits agreements. And then we also, and this is always really fun, offer in-person trainings on things like brownfields, community engagement strategies, stakeholder development, and more, things that are tailored to whatever the needs are of your community. And as Blaise said, we TA providers, we work closely together, and we connect you to technical resources regarding the brownfield redevelopment process. So maybe you'll come to us, you'll say, hey, I have XYZ need, and we might refer you to another provider if it turns out our services aren't right for you. We also can teach you and your colleagues about the brownfields to community asset process, so the stuff that's covered in that Brownfield Sparks Guide, and then we can help you figure out the scale and pacing of your projects and how and where to inject conversations on equity and justice. So that's just a sample of some of the technical assistance products or outcomes that we've had from the 32 clients we've worked with so far. And again, if we were to hop on the phone with you, we would find something that's very tailored to the needs of your community. So we're a relatively small team at Groundwork that works on brownfields, but we do cover a range of specialties, and I've listed a couple of them under each one of our photos, everything from urban agriculture to youth engagement. So when you contact us for a TA agreement, for TA engagement, one of us will hop on the phone with you and spend some time learning about your project, about you, about your community, and dig into what needs you have and if and where we can help. So as I said a little bit earlier, if you have a really specific need and something in this presentation resonated with you and you said, I want that, please reach out. If you aren't sure and you're not sure if you need anything, but you're interested in perhaps taking advantage of our tools or resources or free TA, then also reach out. My personal email is on the web screen in front of you, kate@groundworkusa.org, and you can learn a little bit more about our program by heading to our website. So I hope to hear from you folks soon. Thanks so much. Thanks so much.
Excellent. Thank you, Kate. Great. Thanks for sharing all that great information about how to bring equitable development into your project. I'm going to turn now to our third presenter, who's Pearl Jean Mabe. Pearl Jean Mabe is the Director for Research and Technical Assistance at the Council of Development Finance Agencies. And Pearl's going to talk with you all about the work, how they can help you think through funding and financing opportunities for brownfields redevelopment. So, Pearl, over to you.
All right. Thank you, Amy. As Amy said, my name is Pearl Jean Mabe, and I'm the Director of Research and Technical Assistance at CDFA, and I work on the Brownfields Technical Assistance Program here with my research team, and I'm more of an admin capacity, so a lot of the questions that you may ask, I'm probably going to divert more to my team. They really have the expertise on this, but I will do my best today. So let's get started. I do have to start with just a little bit of clarification. CDFA does not provide legal, accounting, or professional advice. Similarly, CDFA does not herein engage in rendering legal, accounting, financial, or other advisory services. We do encourage that you seek expert counsel should you need direct advice about subject matter. And with that, I would like to thank the EPA very much for inviting us to present to everyone about CDFA Brownfields Technical Assistance Program. The program just absolutely would not be possible without the support of the EPA, so we thank them for that as well. And like many of the other programs, what I'm going to talk to you about today is these services are free and available, and please do reach out to us if anything sparks your interest. I do want to briefly introduce what CDFA is. The Council of Development Finance Agencies is a 37-year-old national nonprofit trade association devoted to providing research, resources, education, and networking opportunities to community and economic development finance practitioners across the U.S., from bond financing to TIF and a special assessment to tax credits, revolving loan funds. We have the whole gamut of financing tools available to communities to support their economic development ecosystem. About 70% of the people we work with are from the public sector and the quasi-public sector, and the remaining 30% are from the private and nonprofit sector. Our Brownfield Technical Assistance Program is run by our Research and Technical Assistance team. The program has four characteristics and opportunities for communities with brownfield sites to gain some information, resources, and guidance on what is often the most difficult part of redevelopment, financing. I'm going to walk through the very basic, those four points in this presentation. So I would also like to introduce you to our Brownfield Program's website. You can find it by visiting cdfabrownfield.org, and I believe it is in the related URL tab that you have access to here on the screen. You can also find it on our main website at cdfa.net by clicking the Brownfield Research page. Our first major benefit that we provide to communities with brownfields is resources. Our Brownfields Financing Toolkit is a database full of brownfield-specific case studies and information on all of the tools we cover here at CDFA. CDFA has both a long history of research and an incredible research team who is consistently searching for new samples of great projects, ideas, and innovative solutions to financing brownfields redevelopment. All resources in the Brownfield Financing Toolkit are free and available to communities, so I encourage you to visit our website and explore those. I also wanted to briefly show an example of one of those resource pages. Here is our BOM section. You'll find that each toolkit page has some good core resources to explain the who, what, and who of each tool. So this is, of course, the BOM's finance resource is part of that. Another significant resource that I'd like to mention is our Brownfields Finance Update newsletter. This is also completely free. You can sign up on the website. This monthly newsletter is the best way to keep up with brownfield projects across the U.S. Our CDFA staff aggregates headlines daily on all topics we cover and then handpicks each month the best of the best of what's happening in the brownfield finance world. So it's a really great way to stay up to date and find out some really great things that are happening around the U.S. Another part of our technical assistance program that I'd like to discuss today is our webinar series. For the past 5 years, CDFA has been producing hyper-specific and topical brownfield financing webinars on everything from TIF structuring to renewable energy development on contaminated land to food systems development on brownfields. The webinars are an hour and a half, and you can view recordings and download the presentations for all of the ones that we've produced for free on the CDFA Brownfields website. Next, I'd like to talk about our direct technical assistance work. The first way to gain direct technical assistance is through a Brownfields project marketplace. Typically, CDFA's technical assistance is most applicable, as I mentioned previously, to figuring out end-use financing. The Brownfields project marketplace is a way for communities at the very early stages of thinking about the end-use of their brownfield site. Communities present either online or in person at an event to a group of advisors and can get quick pointed feedback on financing and redevelopment strategies for the community-specific project. Next, I want to give you a little more information about our most powerful and value-added type of technical assistance, which is our one on-site project response team. So CDFA staff and two hand-picked advisors attend 1.5 to 2 days of meetings with stakeholders from the community. We learn about the project from every perspective that we can, learn about the challenges, constraints, the opportunities, and then our team will produce a road to redevelopment report with both our next step recommendations, to get the project moving and our financing recommendations based on the proposed end use. So this is really more for those communities that are just a little bit more ready to talk about end use. Communities are chosen for this based on their readiness to discuss their projects in terms of financing, and we are best suited for communities with an end use already proposed. We provide the best feedback when communities already have some of that soft development numbers and are thinking through any gap financing. That's really where we excel. So here are all of the technical assistance trips we've made over the past 5 years. And we've definitely hit a few places all over the country, everywhere from Alaska to Florida. We bring, you know, staff, two advisors who we choose based on the location for the best fit of the project. So it really is a great tool. I wanted to give you a couple project examples. Snohomish County wanted to reuse a former landfill, now a municipal park, into a new food hub for the local community. With aggregation facilities, a farmer's market, and commercial kitchen space, the community wanted to give more outlets that supported farming in the county north of Seattle, which had seen significant farmland reduction over the past 20 years. And so, you know, just assess the community, the challenges of the community, hear their goals, meet with the community stakeholders, and it really led to some great cathartic conversations to really get some feedback and work on that roadmap to redevelopment report. This is one we did in February with Ardenville, Louisiana, where they wanted to reuse an abandoned hospital as a new cultural immersion center for Cajun, Creole, and French Louisiana. The center had the potential to be a significant economic driver of their already strong place-based economic development initiative. We met and discussed some of the studies and documentation that needed to be done to update their business plan, and then worked on educating the community on potential public finance tools like 501c3 bonds and historic tax credits, among others. Another project we provided technical assistance for was in Casper, Wyoming, where they were looking to embark on a large hotel and conference center as part of their downtown revitalization. We discussed many of the challenges associated with the two potential project sites and educated the communities on opportunity zones, private activity bonds, and new market tax credits. Lastly, just to mention a couple of events that we have coming up. We have technical assistance openings for our project response teams and the project marketplaces. So if you are interested in those, please do register. And I think those links on your screen will work, but if they don't, please do reach out to the contact for our program here, James Metz. His information is on your screen. And then there's three of us that you can reach out to if you can't get a hold of James, but James is really the guy to go to for this. And then, I wouldn't be right if I didn't say that we have CDFA Summer School coming up in Detroit, and we'd love for you to join us for that. It is, it's going to be really intense and just so much to learn, so it's a great one. And in addition to that, if you can't join us there, we'd be happy to have you join us in Tampa for the National Development Finance Summit. If you need some information on finance development and just need to learn a little bit more about that space, this is really the place to learn. So please do join us. I'm Pearl Jean Mabe, and of course, please do reach out to James with any questions on this program or anything related to the Brownfields information that you might need. And with that, I'll turn this back over to Amy. Thank you.
Pearl. Excellent. Thanks for sharing all that great information about how folks can learn about funding and financing opportunities. I'd like to introduce our last speaker for today, Heather Ballou. And Heather runs the program that supports communities who are working on developing job training programs that support brownfields reuse and other environmental workforce development program. So Heather is the project coordinator at Eastern Iowa Community Colleges. She's the program coordinator for the Hazardous Materials Training and Research Institute that is managing this effort to support communities with job training. So Heather, you are up. All yours.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much, Amy. So as she mentioned, yeah, I am from the Hazardous Materials Training and Research Institute. We just call it HMTRI. And we were established in 1987 as part of Eastern Iowa Community College's effort to promote environmental jobs through education and training. HMTRI has worked under a cooperative agreement with the EPA on the Brownfields Initiative, just providing that technical assistance to communities that are interested in starting an environmental workforce development and job training program. A lot of times I'm going to refer to it as EWDJT, and then EPA-funded EWDJT grantees as well. For those of you who may not be familiar with that program, the Environmental Workforce Development and Job Training grantees recruit, train, and place local unemployed and underemployed residents with the skills needed to secure full-time employment in the environmental field, focusing on brownfields work. This is a grant that is done through the EPA. It's a $200,000 that is awarded over a three-year period. Years one and two have a ramp-up and delivery of courses, and year three will be focused on ramp-down employment and tracking. We just had the most recent grant cycle closed in June, so now we're at the point where we are anxiously awaiting the announcement for the newest cycle of EWDJT grantees. So HMTRI has provided capacity building and technical assistance to these grantees and prospective grantees through a variety of ways. One of our great resources is our online website. So that is brownfields-toolbox.org. We'll explore that a little bit more in depth here later. But that's a really great repository for all things workforce related. It's sort of our big dump where we put everything that we possibly created that relates to those workforce topics. We also have a professional learning community. These are, we also call them PLC. These phone calls allow for a great opportunity for informal open discussion presentations and also allow grantees to showcase their programs. So it's something that's held every 2 weeks and we're really, really excited about that. And I'll talk a little bit more on that one later as well. We also hold our annual all grantee meetings. This is a great opportunity for grantees and prospective grantees, regional coordinators, and other EPA folks to meet face-to-face, to engage in informative sessions, and also peer-to-peer learning experiences. We have webinars that we host every year that just focus on topics that are relevant to the grantees or prospective grantees. We also have newsletters we put out every 2 months addressing critical issues that are facing EWDJT grantees. And like most of the things that we do, we really try to tie it into wherever those grantees and prospective grantees are within that grant cycle. So we really want it to be relevant to them. We have a listserv that we keep that allows us to ask questions, share good news, gather information. It's a really great way to communicate with all of the grantees in whole and any prospective grantees as well. One of the things that we do use our listserv for sometimes is to do periodic scans. And so we create a couple of different documents that come out of those scans. One of the first ones that we'll talk about is the social media directory. That's just where we gathered up all the social media that's associated with current grantees and compiled it onto one nice, easy document that you can find and be able to reach out to the grantees that way if you so desire. Now, the other thing might be of interest to you, especially for those of you that may be looking for a trained workforce to possibly work on certain brownfield sites or different things like that, and that is what we call our employee finder. Basically, we went out and we asked the grantees to provide us with a plethora of information on their groups, including the grantee contact information, the graduate date, the graduation dates of their current cohort, the core curriculum and graduate competencies for those current grantees as well. So if you're looking for a trained workforce and want to know what they're trained in, it's all right there in one fantastic document. And then lastly, we also have our MentorLink program. And that's a great opportunity to really facilitate peer-to-peer sharing of knowledge and skills between current grantees, experienced grantees, things like that. So one of our resources that I did want to dive in a little bit in depth with you all is our website, brownfields-toolbox.org. And again, that's just the repository of all of our workforce-related things. So when you first pull up that website, at the very top of it, you see a series of tabs. And I'm just going to review with you guys really quickly what's all going to be found in those different tabs. The first tab is called our Start a Programs page. So if this is something that sounds kind of interest to you and you'd like to learn a little bit more about what it'd be like to start up one of these EWDJT programs, you know, this is a really, really great in-depth walkthrough that'll showcase all the different things that you might need to do to start a program. The next tab that we have over is our download section. From there, you can find a lot of different resources, including that employee finder, if that was something that sounded of interest to you, and that social media directory. You can find all those under the download tabs. But you can also find one of our most recent publications, which is Environmental Job Training Programs, Critical Components and Best Practices. This publication explores the key components to highly successful programs. And we do also have printed copies of this available upon request as well. But, you know, if you kind of want to see what's, you know, things that we've learned from some of the best programs out there, that's a really, really great resource to go in and check out. Our next tab is the locations tab. And this is really interesting as well. What it is it shows all of the locations around the country of previous grantees and current grantees. So if you're going to want to kind of look and see what's around in your area, if there's anybody offering these EPA-funded job training programs in your area, you know, this map will really help you be able to find them and see what's around. And I kind of skipped over a little bit. We have our Connect News tab. That's just where you can go and find the past copies of our bi-monthly newsletter, Connect News. And then the last tab that I really want to show you guys is our PLC Sessions tab. This is where you can go back and look at notes and any recordings that were made from the past 212 PLC sessions that we've had. So it's a really great way if you want to go back and see any of that information. And to talk just a little bit more about those PLC sessions, HMTRI's PLC started back in 2009. It's a casual discussion that explores everything an organization needs to create and sustain an EWGJT program. Topics are chosen based off of whatever is relevant to where we're at in the grant cycle. So we just really want to make sure that it's things that present grantees are experiencing or prospective grantees might be interested in. It's a mix of open discussion, presentations, and peer-to-peer problem solving. The accompanying notes that are sent out as well provide additional details and information that might be of interest. PLC calls occur every 2 weeks for 30 minutes, and as we always say, it's same time, same place. So it's every Wednesdays. We have the call-in number that's listed on this slide as well. And in fact, that'll be starting up just after this webinar ends. So if you're of interest and would like to call in and join us, we would love to have you. And if you would like to get on any of our listservs or have any questions or would like to learn a little bit more about HMTRI or any questions about the EWGJT program, please do not hesitate to reach out to me. My contact information is listed on this last slide, and we would love to chat with you. Amy, thank you very much. I'm going to pass it back to you.
Thanks, Heather. I want to thank all of our speakers for your very timely and informative presentations and for sharing with our audience all the different ways that they can get help for free. We can't emphasize that enough. We know that brownfield projects are challenging and they take time. And the number one thing we hope that you walk away with from this presentation is that you're not alone. There's lots of resources out there. If you do have a grant from EPA, your EPA Regional Project Officer is, of course, an abundance of information. These organizations are available to you whether or not you have an EPA Brownfield grant. And so the barrier to entry, we hope, is really low because we really just want folks to know what's out there and how these organizations can support your Brownfield efforts. We know you're busy. And as you heard, there's lots of training and tools out there, and that can be hard to navigate, too. So not overwhelming. Just know that there are so many ways that you can get help, but everybody in their presentations emphasized, and I hope that you'll take it to heart, that the number one thing you could do is either pick up the phone and just call any of our speakers today or visit their websites to get to started on coordinating with them. So I did not get any questions that came through our Q&A pod, which is, I guess, good news. We'll take it as good news that folks seem to understand what is available, and I hope that that means that our technical assistance providers will be getting lots of follow-up business as a result of today's presentation. So thank you to everybody. I'm going to turn it back over to Jean to close us out.
All right. Thank you so very much, Amy. Let me walk everyone through just a few quick technical reminders before we close out today. So first and foremost, if you're looking for copies of the presentation material, we already have those posted on the seminar resources or links page. So you'll find that on the middle right of your screen under related URLs. You'll see a link to something called seminar resources. You can click that, press the browse to button, and then open up the website where the materials can be found. There's also contact information for your organizers and presenters on the seminar homepage as well. And I will ask each of you to take just a brief moment to fill out our online feedback form to let us know what you thought of today's delivery. Now, one of the most common questions we get is if we offer CEUs or PDHs for these webinars. While we don't issue those types of credit hours, we can provide you with a participation certificate. You can get one of these certificates after you fill out and submit your online feedback form. Just make sure when you're completing that form that you check the box at the bottom certifying you were here for the entire session. And then as soon as you send in your feedback, you'll immediately have access to a participation certificate, which includes the title, date, and time, as well as your name for today's webinar. Oftentimes, our participants are able to get credit with their own institutions by including a copy of the certificate and the materials and sometimes their registration email just to verify they were here for the whole thing. If you happen to participate in a large group, each person can actually follow the link to the feedback form and fill out their own form, regardless if they registered individually. I want to thank the nearly 60 individuals who joined us for today's live broadcast from across the U.S. As noted, our session was recorded, and as soon as we have an archived version available, you'll automatically receive an email.